How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned into the broadcast again, and we're picking up our study here in Mark chapter 13, Mark chapter 13, verse number 1. Jesus has been in the temple and looking there at the treasury, saw the different ones that gave, has talked to the disciples about the scribes, and warning them that were there that he was teaching in the temple. And then saw about those giving, and then the widow that just cast in all of her living, and how the Lord had respect unto that indeed. And it says in chapter 13, verse number 1, "And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what manner of buildings are here? And Jesus answering and said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And so as they're leaving there, the disciples, the apostles are looking around and said, "Look how magnificent this is, Lord." And they're looking at Herod's temple. They're looking at the remodel work and the great work that Herod had done with the temple that had been built by Ezra. And that work of Ezra and Nehemiah so many hundreds of years ago, and then remodeled yet by Herod. And they said, "Look at all this, Lord. Look at how great this is. Look how big these buildings are. Seest thou these great buildings?" And the Lord says, these buildings are not going to be standing one day. Matter of fact, it's going to be that there's not going to be one stone of these buildings left upon another. "Seest thou these great buildings?" Verse 2. "There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Every single stone. And of course, historically, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about Titus coming into Jerusalem and destroying the temple and destroying the city in 70 AD. Rome had finally got tired of this city and the uprisings in Israel and such as that, and looks to bring her to desolation. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he dies upon the cross of Calvary, the veil of the temple is rent in twain from top to bottom, signifying that the Lord Jesus had fulfilled everything that God had given unto Israel in Judaism. All those sacrifices were fulfilled in Christ. The sacrifice of the Passover was fulfilled by Christ. The sacrifice of the annual atonement was fulfilled by Christ. Every sacrifice, every oblation, every single thing was fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ, and Judaism was out of business. And then the Lord tells them that one day this is all going to be destroyed. Judaism continued on, and Israel tried to continue it on, but the Lord made a great statement in it that he had the temple destroyed because it's done. It's all been fulfilled by his Son. And so Jesus prophesies and tells our brethren that these things are going to come to pass. And as he sat down, it says in verse 3, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled?" So the Lord tells them what he does, and maybe goes out of the eastern gate there at the Temple Mount, walks through the valley of the Kidron and across the river there, the stream there, and the brook, as it tells us in the scriptures, and goes up on the Mount of Olives, and then sits looking over at the temple. Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, they come to the Lord and they say, "When's that going to happen? What's going to be the sign of when that's going to happen?" And we need to understand when we look at this passage, and there are parallel passages in Luke chapter 21 and Matthew chapter 24 in the Gospels, and we'll not take time to look into those passages presently. We'll just mainly focus upon this Mark 13. But the Lord is going to tell some things, and he's going to tell some things about end time events. We got to remember a few things as we listen to our Lord and hear what he has to say to our brethren about these end time events. First, we need to understand that he is talking to Jews. The Lord Jesus Christ is a Jew, and some of these things that are folded in here are about and apply to the nation of Israel and the nation of Israel only. But yet we who are Gentiles can learn from it and understand, along with other passages in the scripture, about some of the order of end time events. Many things we're not told, but then many things we are told, and we can know them, and our Lord has told us them for a reason. We need to understand, too, that these things that our Lord tells, some of these passages, some of this prophecy, that they're like dual fulfillment. Some of these things are going to be fulfilled, as we've mentioned, when Titus comes in 70 AD and destroys things, and the Jews are going to be harried by the Roman government and persecuted by the Roman government. But then also they apply to the end when the Lord Jesus is going to deal with the nations of the world. And as he does so, he's also dealing with the nation of Israel to draw her back to himself and ultimately at his appearing to redeem her and to save her and to save those of Israel that his nation might be restored. And so we need to understand that. Some of these things are going to be soon. Some of these things that our Lord's going to mention are going to be along the way. And some of these things that our Lord mentions are going to be at the end. And so we need to understand that the Lord's speaking to Jews, that we as Gentiles can yet learn some things from it, that there are dual meaning or dual application of these prophetic passages in some cases, and that the Lord interwoven in this passage, in this chapter, are things soon, things along the way, and things at the end. And so Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked the Lord privately, said, tell us when. Tell us what the sign is going to be when these things are going to be fulfilled, of what you've said about the temple and the buildings of the temple. Verse 5, Jesus answering them began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you. He says, don't be deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. There's going to be those that are going to declare that they are the Savior, that they are the Messiah and the Redeemer. The Lord says, don't believe them. And the reason it is that when Jesus comes, he will be known. There'll not be one that'll have to tell another that Christ is at hand. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes, nobody has to tell you that he's over this way or over that way. When Jesus appears, when Jesus comes to this earth again, he will be known. So he says, don't be deceived. There's going to be many that are coming and saying that I am, that they're the Christ. He says, don't be deceived. In verse number 7, and when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be not troubled, for such things must needs be, for the end shall not yet be yet. And so the Lord tells us there's going to be war and rumors of war. And all through antiquity, that has been the case. Even here in our day, there's the threat of war and this threat of this nation and that threat of another nation. It's just the way men are. There's always those that are dissatisfied, always those that are looking to be conquerors and such as that. And he said, and so that's the way it is all along. But then you know what? It's going to be that way in the end too. For nation shall rise against nation, verse 8, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. And of course, these things have happened all through time. But when it comes to the end, they're going to be more prevalent. They're going to be more at hand. There's going to be wars. And Revelation chapter 6, it tells us about the four horsemen. One that comes on a white horse to be a conqueror, and that's not the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it could be the man of sin, or well, it could just mean that of war. And then that one that comes on the red horse, that comes with a sharp sword, and to disrupt peace upon the earth. There's going to be conquerors and those that stir up war in the end, and it'll be like it's never been before. And then the black horse that'll come, famine, pestilence, the lack of food. It's always that way with war. It always the people suffer and are brought to a bad and terrible case. It's always that way when men want to conquer and take over, and when war is at hand. People flee and there's refugees and such. It's always that way. And then that fourth horse, the pale horse, that of death, and the grave and hell following with him. War, pestilence, famine, the conquering ways of men always bring death and destruction upon the people of the world. These things have been in the past, but in the end, it's going to be like it never has been before. And you know what? It's going to be that way when Titus comes in. Titus is going to come in and dominate that region and that area. The Jews are going to fear. And he did so, and the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed. And so it will be at the end, too. In verse number 9, "But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them." And so here we see something that was very soon. This happened to all the apostles. This happened to the brethren that were there in the first church that the Lord had made. And as there was that scattering throughout all Judea and all the world, because of the persecution upon that first church, and other churches were started as our Lord had purposed and had commanded to be done, for them to go and to preach in all the world. And so this has been the case all along for the children of God. Because see, in verse 10, "And the gospel must first be published amongst all nations." That's the purpose of the Lord, is that the gospel be published and be proclaimed in all the nations. And you know what? That's closer to having been done now than it ever has been before. As far as the world and known regions of the world, the world is known. Back in this day, there were parts of the world that were unknown. But now the entire globe is known, and there are the Lord's churches and people proclaim his gospel. And I wonder when it's going to be that the Lord will say, "It's accomplished, it's been published, and now we're going to move on to these final things." And so the Lord tells about how it will be. They'll be delivered up. The disciples, the people of the Lord, will be delivered up to councils and will be brought before rulers to be a witness of him before them. That's been soon from the time that the Lord uttered these words. And it's been along the way, too. Particularly in the Dark Ages, and even how it's coming to be in our nation now, and then it will be at the end. It will be. And so we have these things told by our Lord that apply soon, that apply along the way, and apply at the end. How about you? Where do you stand? Do you have the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? The Savior of your soul, the one that has forgiven you of your sins and washed your sins away by his precious blood and granted unto you everlasting life? Are you saved? We point you to Christ. Repent of your sins and believe in his gospel, in him, for the salvation of your soul. But see that our time is past for now. May our Lord bless you with the word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.